This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The bull market turns six. From 8 p.m. in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Low interest rates as engineered by the Federal Reserve, economic recovery, and yes, innovation itself have fueled, as of today, a six-year-long bull run for the stock market. The low on this date back in 2009 for the S&P 500 is the starting point, and it's been 72 months. The longest is 1990 to 2000, a 117-month bull run, and there's 1921 to 1929, a run that ended in the crash that prompted the Great Depression, but that's not a topic for a sunny anniversary. Julian Emanuel is Executive Director, U.S. Equity and Derivative Strategy at UBS Securities in New York. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, David.
Well, it's been quite a ride since that horrendous March 9th of 2009, midst of the financial crisis. The world seemed like it was falling apart back then.
No question. And, it has been a very good run. The bull market is extended in terms of time and in terms of price return, but by no means historic. So ultimately, we do think there is more to go.
More to go, except you're not seeing it on Friday, and share prices looking a little weak, according to some of the global markets, even now. Is that the way to celebrate the sixth anniversary?
No, it does seem like the birthday boys had a bit of a temper tantrum, as it were, simply because the news on the jobs front was so good that it's essentially shocked the market into focusing more on the idea that interest rates are going to rise. And while that's good for stocks in the main because it's a sign of economic health, it's a notion that takes some getting used to and some digesting. And the market's going to digest that over the next couple of weeks.
All right. I guess I should have stayed unemployed for one more month so that I could boost the stock market. The irony that we always talk about. Julian Emanuel at UBS Securities. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Now to what happens when you let robots make content choices. Procter & Gamble and Anheuser-Busch are in damage control mode after their automated advertisements appeared to be sponsoring YouTube videos from ISIS. Gigi Duban has more.
Every minute that goes by, YouTube has 300 hours of content uploaded to its site. So the process that links ads to certain videos is automated. Google owns YouTube. Andrew Steven teaches marketing at the University of Pittsburgh.
You know, Google's very good at figuring out what you're interested in, even if you don't realize it.
Except when it's not, like in this instance. The algorithms YouTube uses are complicated, but basically it works like this. Figure out who's watching certain videos, slap on ads for things these people might like. Ari Lightman teaches digital media and marketing at Carnegie Mellon University. He says a company like P&G spends a lot of money cultivating this wholesome, family-friendly image.
And then to have it next to ISIS is very contrary to what they're trying to go after.
He says when you're dealing with huge amounts of data, these things are bound to happen. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
A couple minutes ago, we were talking about financial market players looking at the news about more Americans getting jobs and seeing some kind of warning about higher interest rates. But let's be real. If you're looking for work, the idea that employers have to compete more for your labor is very fine news indeed. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on today's job seekers, especially college students getting set to jump into the market with both feet.
It's the spring Life After College event at the University of Portland.
If you can talk a little bit about the discernment process.
Several recent grads are on stage offering real-world advice about how they survived the recession and eventually landed good jobs in finance, public health, teaching. Not exactly the "it's brutal out there, take anything you can get" message I've been hearing for years, but it's not job land of milk and honey stuff either. Jessica Whitaker was on the alumni panel. She works in marketing at a leading sportswear brand in Portland.
That basic Times New Roman resume, it really doesn't cut it anymore. You really need an infographic resume, a full portfolio, a website, and if you do have a short video talking about who you are and what your brand statement is.
Wow. Though, at least she added, the video doesn't have to be totally professional. Elizabeth McNamara is a business major and sounding pretty confident.
My goal is to get into a job immediately that I'm really happy with and be able to stay there and move throughout the company.
Not too likely. Average job tenure for today's young people is just 3 to 4 years. That fits in well, though, with fellow business major Kelsey Oren's plans.
I honestly think I'll probably jump around. Usually start pretty low in a company, and so building your resume and getting higher jobs in other companies is more what I'm looking for.
Management professor Peter Capelli at the Wharton School says companies are working harder to find employees, but they're not opening their wallets.
It's cheaper, frankly, if you're a company and smarter, to spend your initial efforts with greater recruiting efforts before you start having to raise your pay or raise your perks.
Capelli says employers remain really picky, holding out for the right candidate with just the right experience and at the right price before making an offer. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And how to turn $6 into perhaps $10 million? There's an investment, but all you need is the ability to wait about 200 years. A $5 gold piece and a fine silver dollar from 1822 and 1804, respectively, have gone up for auction and could go for something in the $10 million range. If that happens, it would be a record for coins. They're part of the D. Brent Pogue coin collection amassed by a Texas property developer and his son. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.